Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all his reindeer pulling on the reins. Bells are singing, children pinging, all is merry and bright. The jumping bed, cover up your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. Frosty the Snowman. Oh, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. None of that had absolutely anything to do with why we're here. And that's the trap we fall into sometimes, isn't it? Why are we here? Well, we're going to talk about that today, but first I'm going to have the kids come up. Throughout the year, I have the kids come up, and we talk about the things that we're going to be talking about in the sermon, hopefully in a way that relates it more efficiently to them. But the other reason I have them come up is because I want them to know how valuable they are to our church family. I love every one of you, and I am so glad and so blessed that you are here as part of our church family. And you are a testimony to God's word that says, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I have seen you and your godly parents come and grow in Christ because we are a family group who makes disciples, and you have parents who make disciples. And so I want you guys to know, this really has nothing to do with Christmas. This has everything to do with our love for you and God's love for you, and that's what makes you special. So here you go. Each one of you can take one of those. There's some things in there for you. Hopefully your parents will let you eat. And then everybody, all the kids, get to go downstairs. It's not just three years old through second grade. Everybody gets to go. Well, you can find one. Everybody take one. All right. Thank you for coming up. Thank you guys for appreciating them so much. Which one do you want, Jackson? That one? Okay, you take that one downstairs, okay? All right. There's more in the bag if you guys are really interested. Hopefully my point was made. Christmas Town or Redemption City, where will your generation or your celebration end up? Christmas is a fun time, isn't it? All those things, I love those songs. How many of you love those songs? I'm sure you all knew. I'm sure the kids probably all knew every one of those songs I was singing. And Christmas is a wonderful time. And there's a lot of things about it that we love. And it's an opportunity for people to be a little bit nicer to each other than they normally are. There's lots of things that happen at Christmas time, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But you got to know, most of it, almost all of it, has nothing to do with why Christmas is a holiday for Christians. We're going to talk about that because it's so easy. Even if you say, well, it's time to put Christmas or Christ back in Christmas or he's the reason for the season. Okay. Let's put the gospel back in Christmas. Because Jesus came as a baby for a reason. And that reason was to redeem fallen mankind. And it is a package deal, folks. It all comes together. We can celebrate the baby's birth and everything, but if you miss the rest, you are missing the significance of this holiday season. So we have been studying, this is an interesting thing. We've been studying the covenants. I'm going to get rid of this before I get myself in trouble. Andy's probably already turned it off anyway. We've been studying the covenants, and you've seen them here, and we've gotten through, and God's timing on this was absolutely perfect. I did not plan this, that we would get to the covenant of grace, the new covenant of grace through Jesus, right at the time that Christmas arrived. And yet, there we worked our way through it. We saw the eternal covenant of God of redemption. We saw the covenant of works, which was with Adam. We saw the covenant of grace, which was God dealing with mankind in grace when he deserved wrath and judgment. And then there was a covenant with Noah saying, okay, I'm not going to flood the world ever again. So God had some restraint there. And then the covenant with Abraham pointing towards Jesus. There was a covenant with Moses giving him the law, showing them that only grace would work. And so we see those things in that. And I gave you this last time. So the covenant of redemption reveals the goal and the plan and the method of redemption. The covenant of works reveals the need for redemption. The covenant of grace reveals the character of God that makes redemption possible. The covenant with Noah that reveals the restraint that allows the time for redemption to be accomplished. And the covenant with Abraham that reveals the guarantee, the physical line of a future home and the future of redemption and who it would come through. The covenant with Moses showed through the law the man's inability to obey and the need for grace in redemption. And then finally, the covenant with David, which revealed the exact lineage of David, the line of David from whom the Savior would come. That would be who will accomplish redemption. So you see, there's a common theme here, isn't there? What's the common theme? Redemption. I told you that this was going to be building upon itself and that you'd miss out if you didn't listen to the whole thing. So I'm going to give you a 4-question quiz to see if you've actually been following along. What is the main theme and topic of Scripture? Okay. What is the most important subject or event for all human beings? What do all the covenants point to? What's the real meaning of Christmas? The answer is the same word, people, redemption. That was God's plan. We saw that. Before the beginning of the world, God said, I'm going to make people, they're going to fall, and I have a plan to bring them back to myself. And every one of you that is accepted Jesus Christ, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before God created anything. What an amazing fact. What a something that would give you confidence as you walk through this life that God had a plan for me before he created anything. And it included restoring me back into fellowship with him for eternity. And so we see all of these covenants, and we see how they've been pointing towards this main event of Scripture when Jesus, the baby, finally comes and begins the redemptive process in human time. What a wonderful thing that is. It was a 4,000-year road trip with signposts along the way, pointing the way to one thing, one event. Jesus was going to come, the Messiah, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, God with us. And that is the true meaning of Christmas. The mystery has been revealed. It is indeed the greatest story that's ever been told. Everything in the Old Testament is leading up to and pointing towards the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that would accomplish redemption for the fallen human beings created by God. We've seen so far God in his creation in Genesis. We've seen the fall and how it happened. We've seen the wrath that God poured out upon the earth when he flooded the earth and flooded all but 8 people died. God was revealing himself through these things, through the scriptures, through the prophecies, through the covenants, pointing towards one major event, which started with the birth of a baby. God has a plan. It can never change. No one or no thing can ever stop it or change it. And that plan is called redemption. And you can just change that word to the gospel if you want, because that's what the gospel is about. The gospel is the good news about how you can be saved both eternally and now in this life. And that's the news. That's the hope that we have. That's what we got to share with people all year long. That Jesus came. Yeah, he came as a baby, but he had a plan and he had a goal and he had a mission from the Father to reconcile us back to God, to pay for our sins, to have the wrath of God heaped upon him instead of you. That's the message of Christmas. So we see the redemption as the main theme, and part of the plan was God coming to this world to become a man. Why would God do that? Could God have not done it all from heaven? What do you think? Could God not have done this whole thing from heaven? Could he just say, look, I'm going to take my son out behind the woodshed in heaven, and he's going to pay the price for your sins, and I'm going to just send down a messenger that says, hey, you guys are all paid for. He did not do that. We see instead God becoming a man. God becoming a man. And how did he do this? What options did God have? I mean, we've seen God interact with human beings in the Bible. How many of you have read stories, you know? How many of you remember the interaction God had with Moses? Yeah, and what was he? What was he then? He was a burning bush, right? But he had a voice. He had a human voice that was resounding that Moses could understand. And so God could have come completely different, right? He could have come as Conan the Barbarian looking, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm going to send my son down, and you guys are all going to see he is the epitome of human beings. But he didn't do that. He didn't bring him with lightning and thunder. He didn't make him a superhero or a worldly famous king that has political and economic and military power. He sent a baby. That was his choice. A baby who started as an egg, became an embryo and a fetus, went through the birth canal, probably caused his mother pain on the way out. He learned to eat, learned to talk, learned to walk, probably fell down, ran, crawled, wet his pants, got hungry and thirsty, just like the rest of us. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? Well, there's some reasons that we know from Scripture. Why did God become incarnate and become one of us and humble himself to that level? I mean, the humility of Christ is understandable to us. We could say maybe I could just go become a slug and crawl around with a bunch of slime, and we still wouldn't understand the depth of the humility for God to become a man. But he did it so that he would know all of our tribulations, the temptations, our troubles, that he could relate to us in a way made possible by experiencing all of those things himself. He became the perfect example for us to follow. He says, you need to see, this is what I had intended you to be in the first place until the fall came and it was broken and you guys were all sinful and selfish. This is the example of humankind that is supposed to be, that will be again, thank God. He came to live a perfect life and fulfill the old covenant on our behalf. He came to be the second Adam and initiate a redo of mankind, which was necessary after the fall, and he came to sacrifice for us as a man, as a God-man, for mankind. As God put himself on the cross and died for our sins. It had to start with a baby. That's the way God wanted it. I'm going to experience the things that you experienced because I want relationship with you and I want you to have relationship with me. And so I'm going to send my son, not fully grown, not completely powerful, not famous, but as a baby in very humble surroundings. Really, God? A baby? And so we see this as God informs Mary. And we see it in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, and then verse 35. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David." You see, you can see through the covenants, it was going to come through David. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be, there will be no end." And then in verse 35, the angel answered Mary when she was asking how this would happen. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and with the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So we see God had given Mary this information that indeed the Messiah was coming, the Messiah who they'd been waiting for all these centuries, thousands of years. How is this redemption plan going to work out? God has hinted at it before from the beginning with Job. I gave you that verse last week, that I know my Redeemer lives. They know something is coming, we just don't know what it was. And then finally God begins to reveal the mystery by sending his son, not as a grown man, but as a baby. And we see it as he informs the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Good news, the gospel of great joy for all the people, "for born to you unto this is... For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, we don't have time this morning. I did this last week, or last year, last Christmas. To look at those three words, "I am sending to you this day in the form of a baby a Savior who is Christ," or the Messiah, "and Lord," being God. They were expecting a Messiah, but they weren't expecting God. They were expecting somebody to come and save them, but they weren't expecting God, and they certainly weren't expecting God to come as a baby. That is not the God that they had in their mind. That is not what they were expecting in their humanity. That was not what they were wanting economically, militarily. They wanted somebody to boot the Romans out of their country so they could be the nation of Israel one more time. But when the baby shows up, they're totally confused. And so we see that this was the other verse, "And this will be a sign to you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and our peace among those whom with he is pleased. But here's the deal, folks. We get together on Christmas and we celebrate the baby. And okay, we're going to put Christ in Christmas again, and he's the reason for the season. But I don't know. I mean, I've said this before, and I don't want to sound like a humbug. And I remember Ron and Carl being just kind of, I don't know how to deal with this Christmas thing, because it's so far off what God intended. You know, it's fun, and it brings all these cool things, and people are nicer to one another, and it's, you know, all the traditions and stuff we're going to talk about. But it has nothing really to do. We formed it into something that doesn't really correspond with the reality of what's going on. This is a package deal, folks. This was the baby who is also the Savior, the Messiah, and the Son of God. And then, so here's what we see from John in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. For in the beginning was the Word, the Creator, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who's the Word that he's talking about? It's Jesus. He's saying Jesus was God, and so he's verifying here that this baby that came as a human being was actually the Son of God, who was there from the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so John is clearly telling us, this Jesus who came as a baby that you celebrate on Christmas time was the eternal God who created things, all things. It says all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And that he's the life and the light. And so John is being very clear. This is that baby who came. I want you to see this. I want you to understand it clearly that this is the Messiah. And he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, this is a package deal, and it's actually probably a bit unfortunate that we try to pigeonhole it into one day of the year. Now, I understand. You could ask Christians, and what's the greatest holiday for you? And let's be honest, most of us, this is it, right? I mean, we love Christmas time. Okay, but this Christmas time is the beginning of the story of redemption. I mean, it's the beginning of this cycle that God created in man's time to finalize the process so that we could be saved. And so we think, well, it should be Easter, right? Easter is our holiday, and that's the one we're going to get all excited about. Well, what about the rest of the story? We look at Jesus and we see him in the scriptures, and we see him starting here as a baby. In Luke, it gives us a very good chronicle of how that whole thing happened, and we can go back in scripture. We can see that the covenants are pointing toward Jesus. We can see all of the Christian or the Christ prophecies that were pointing at Jesus and saying it's going to come like this. It's amazing how many of the details were prophesied way before he came, that he would come and be born in a manger, that he would come, and all the different elements that were talked about in Scripture before he came were pointing the way towards this, but it was pointing the way towards the Messiah, not just the baby. And so we see in the incarnation Jesus living a perfect life. We see him with his personal messages and teachings. We see him calling and discipling the disciples. We see him performing miracles, showing people that he is indeed the Son of God. We see his death, we see his burial, we see his resurrection. We see him assuming into heaven to the side of the throne of God to be an advocate for us forever. We see him sending us the Holy Spirit. We read about his second coming and then with us living with him eternally. Christmas is cool, but every single one of those things is worthy of a holiday. You can't really celebrate the birth of Jesus without understanding all of the rest of those things in context. And so, it can be a problem. And in fact, we saw the problem early on, right? We saw the problem early on when Jesus comes. And besides, you know, Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and the shepherds that were out there and a few chosen people, almost the entire world missed the fact that the Son of God was born. And then we see Jesus. And for about 30 years, you don't really hear much from him. There's a few incidents in Scripture that talk about him growing up, but we don't hear a whole lot about him. But he begins his ministry at the age of 30, which is when the age when you can become a priest. And so Jesus becomes our high priest, and he begins to minister to the world. And he brings the message of salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we missed it, those that were there. The majority of the people of God, the Jews, said, no, 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 this is not the Messiah. This is crazy. God is not going to work like this. There must be another plan. And so why? Why did they miss it? Because they had misguided expectations. They were expecting King David 2.0. They were expecting someone who was going to raise an army. In fact, his disciples kept wondering, when's he going to raise an army? When is he going to overthrow Rome? When's this going to happen? And we're following this guy around, and he seems to be getting himself into trouble here and there all the time, and he doesn't seem to be gathering much of a crowd except when they're hungry. What's going to happen? I don't understand. And they were expecting somebody completely different. And then they were looking at it from a worldly perspective. Well, this isn't really what we were expecting, God. We were expecting to be at the top of the food chain again. We were expecting to be the preeminent nation in the world once again. And we want to be economically thriving. And we want to be a new military power so that this will never happen again. And so they were looking at it with a worldly perspective instead of as children of God. And then, frankly, when Jesus comes and is into his ministry, his greatest rebukes come to those that called themselves the children of God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had taken and lost the love for God and turned their belief system into a system of legalistic rule following. So they'd lost their love for God and become blind and deaf and lost. But God had not yet fully revealed the mystery of the gospel. So the question is, how do we escape the same traps? Because they're still there. Christmas, what does it become? Let's be honest. It's a holiday for people who are godly or not. I was listening to Vody Bachman. He was reading a message, and he said, you know where the most expensive Christmas tree ever put up exists? Cost $11.2 million in a Muslim country of Dubai. This has become a holiday for everybody. We love it. Christmas is cool. Well, do you believe in Jesus? No. Why should I? Ho, ho, ho. It's become about stuff and things and gifts and possessions and money and profit and commerce. It's become about feeling good and being good and doing good and being kind and being more considerate. It's become about traditions and family and kindness and goodwill towards all men and time off from work and lots of good food and party time and warm memories and nostalgia from being a kid. Now, is there anything wrong with any of that in itself? No. Has nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing. And so we find ourselves falling into the same traps that those who were alive when Jesus came fell into, and we have unrealistic expectations or unreal expectations about what this is about. And what I really want is I want Christmas to make me feel good. That's what I'm expecting, and I'm expecting to be able to live through all these traditions and holiday things I used to do when I was a kid and how wonderful that is and all that. And we miss the message of Christmas because we have expectations that are not have anything to do with God's plan for redemption. Now, again, I'm not trying to be a humbug here. I love Christmas as much as anybody. I just wish I could take Jesus' part and stick it in another day all by itself where it belongs. What we experience is fun, but it has nothing to do with the significance of the day. Practically nothing. And you can put a little, you know, manger scene and stuff in your house and say, well, you know, Jesus is kind of the reason for the season. But do you get up and think every day, Jesus came as a baby, Jesus lived a perfect life, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, Jesus rose again so I could have eternal life with him? Do we say the gospel at Christmas time, or we just preach and teach the birth story? Because you can't separate it, people. You can't. The reason for the season is redemption. The reason for the season is the gospel. And that's the hope we have that should give us the joy and the warm feelings and the desire to be better every single day that you're alive and living in the grace of the new covenant. That is Christmas. Christmas is just a reminder that we've been saved. Christmas is a reminder that we have an eternal destiny that no one can take away from us. Christmas is a reminder of what God paid to give you eternal life. And if we miss that, then Christmas becomes nothing but a pagan holiday. You're going to choose. Oops, I missed that one. Sorry about that. You're going to choose how you look at this day. Now, again, I'm not trying to. I mean, I feel great. I mean, I started playing Christmas music on the radio the day after Thanksgiving when 106.9 started. I think maybe they may have even started earlier than that, but I started listening to it as soon as possible because I just love it. I just love this time of year. And so I'm not trying to say that you can't enjoy this holiday season. Even if you aren't a Christian, even if you want nothing to do with Jesus, this is still a fun, good time. But as Christians, we need to put the gospel back in Christmas. We've been redeemed. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before time began, and God's entire plan of redemption has finally been revealed. We have it in Scripture. It started with the baby. And that's what we need to celebrate every single day. Okay, so I'm back to the beginning. Where will you end up this holiday season? In Christmastown? Or Redemption City? Maybe you can have both. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to enjoy the Christmas time, and we have a series of Christmas movies we watch every year, and we're working our way through those things. And, you know, Carol and I have a tradition of going out, and we get a hotel, and we go Christmas shopping for 2 days. And I enjoyed every second of those, all of those things. But I want to get up every morning remembering the true message of Christmas, which is not that a baby came, but that the Son of God became man to take away the sins of the world. We can agree or disagree about the significance of how it's turned out. And we can still keep it as a special time, but I just don't want us to lose the proper perspective and that we can be thankful and appreciate the entire story and not get lost in the birth of a baby. All right. With that, let's pray. Father, there is a wonderful blessing just in the love that's exhibited by people that don't even know you at this time of year. What a wonderful thing that is. And they may enjoy it, and if they died tomorrow or died on Christmas Day, they're still going to hell without the redemption. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, though, Lord, that you work it in our minds and in our hearts to understand the significance of the entire story of the gospel, starting with the birth of a baby when God became man. So, Father, we need that. We need that perspective. We need you to keep that at the top and the forefront of our minds as we navigate through this, that we don't forget that what we have to do in this time is not just give people presents, but share the hope that we have so that they, too, can be part of the family of God. So, Father, we just ask that you'd use this time as an opening, as a way to connect with people that maybe we couldn't at other times, to share the entire message of the gospel and not just about the birth of the Son. So, Father, work in us. And you have to go ahead of us. We know that. We can't change people's hearts and minds. Only you can do that. But you have given us opportunities by which we can share the hope that we have. Lord, help us to take advantage of that. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for the results. In Jesus' name, amen.